Ow.
That's the professional way to do it. Cheers, that looks pretty good.
Cheers, yeah. Mm. Oh, it smells like chocolatey. Is that chocolate?
No chocolate. Mm. Who cares, it's good.
Mm. It's alcoholic.
It's good. And, well, definitely leaving that bit in. It's good, and it's Norwegian as well, which probably suits the environment.
Makes it gooder.
We're in Norway. We're in Hafjell, in the snow. And
can you turn music off so we don't get in trouble?
Who's going to get in trouble?
Us? I don't know.
No,
don't they, like, cut you off on YouTube now if you have background music?
It's the internet. We won't get in trouble.
Okay, oh, yeah.
It's fine. So I'm going to embed the photo I just took of you taking the photo because it's...
That's so meta.
You'll see why if you're watching this later on, but I've got everything set up nice and now, so I don't want to turn the camera around, but there's just sort of like this epic, epic sunset there over the mountains with the clouds in the valley, and you thought it was such a good scene that you rushed out in your shorts.
And then forgot this, like,
in bare feet.
3 feet
and then you're like,
of snow.
Why am I sinking in the snow? So you're out there in bare feet, like up to your waist in snow, taking this photo, which did actually look pretty epic as well. So I think I'm going to embed that right about this point. So you're looking at it now, if you're watching it, not just listening.
You've made an editing job for yourself.
Oh, no. This is normally so easy. We've decided that the snow, we've been, what, we rode all yesterday, rode today.
Yep.
So it's done. It's not a bad way. Not a bad way to spend the day, is it?
We've done quite a bit. I've got my little app here to track, yeah. So today we did 3,243 metres of descent and 24.1 kilometres of distance.
It wasn't a particularly long day, and in fairness, like, it's not a big mountain either
on
the grand scheme of things.
Yeah. There's lots of shorter runs, I would say.
But, you know, maybe just to get into something like actually relevant to what I've tried doing these videos.
Cybers.
We realised something really interesting today, and it was related to a tweet you put out yesterday. So tell us the tweet, and then we'll go through
the numbers. Oh, so yeah. So I actually have, it's like right behind me here. So I have this little box, which is in the shot just there.
Yeah, yeah.
So that's like my little 4G base station that I carry around with me.
I noticed that was a Huawei one.
Yeah, it's the Huawei 5G hotspot, so it falls back to 4G if the local telcos don't have 5G. So, I always carry it around the world with me. I do loads of training, like the Hack Yourself First and TLS, yeah. And I've been in places where the Wi-Fi is really restrictive, or there is no Wi-Fi, or the Wi-Fi is so slow, and I was like tethering people to my phone. It's just such a mess. I was like, I'm going to buy this little unit. It can do like 60-something devices, and... You know, I can roam across Europe with it because we have, free roaming across Europe now. And it was yesterday, I was setting it up, I tested it, I've got, 240 meg down? Something ridiculous that I can't even get in England. And I was looking at the source IP on the speed test, and it was like, oh, yes, your location in the UK. And I was like, well, I'm not in the UK, this is a bit odd. And I sent a tweet about it in this little thread, and I was like, why, you know, whenever I use this box abroad, it seems to always show me in the UK. And a couple of people have come on and said very, very similar things now, which is that when you're roaming with your the SIM card on your data, because obviously that's just backed by a SIM card, they basically kind of like IPsec tunnel all your traffic back to your native home operator and then punch it out on the internet. So they can still do their filtering and bandwidth tracking and all their usual stuff, which is why it looks like you're in the UK. And I was like, that.
But see, I never realized that for you, it looked like that. Or conversely, for me, it looked like Australia. And the penny dropped today when we were having lunch. And I was like, can we figure out the Wi-Fi password for the restaurant here? Because I want to do my thing.
You've been complaining for days.
And my connection is so crap.
And
I'm like, which network are you on? And you're like, Telenor. So Telenor being the Norwegian one. And I'm looking at myself, I'm on Telenor too. It's like... And yesterday we were looking at it going, what's wrong with my settings? Because I'm getting like a 650 millisecond ping. My down speed was regularly 2 megabits. My up speed was half a megabit. I was like, man, this Telenor.
It was like two iPhones side by side.
Yeah, two iPhones.
Same carrier, same everything.
And I'm like, this is ridiculous. We figured this out because what speed did you get actually? Because we ran these speed tests simultaneously today. So we're both sitting there running these tests. And I got, I screen capped it. So I got, where was my ping? My ping was 678 milliseconds, down speed 4.5 megabits, up speed 5.29. But that ping is what really seems to kill us.
Yeah,
that's
going to kill
everything. It takes so long.
I mean, mine was pretty bad up the mountain, 117, but I had 81.5 down and 25.5 up.
Yeah, and of course, when we go down and we look at the telco, like my telco is coming up as Telstra, which is back in Australia.
Mine is Giffgaff, which is my carrier in the UK.
And then I realise that the other thing that happens is every now and then when I'm away, as I'm sure you do as well, it's like I'll VPN. And it's like, I'm in Norway, so I'm going to use Norwegian VPN. So what's happening, let's say I'm browsing an Australian website just to make this even worse. So I'm connecting from here to Telstra,
in
per your point, via some IPsec tunnel or something. And then I've turned on my Norwegian VPN, so the traffic's coming all the way back to Norway. And then I'm browsing an Australian website, so the traffic's going all the way back to Australia again. So we've literally just done like three laps of Norway to Australia. I don't know.
That's like 1.5 times the equator, isn't it, basically, from here?
It still just doesn't make a lot of sense. Okay, maybe the bandwidth monitoring, but you'd kind of think, can the telcos not just like get along with each other and share bandwidth stats?
Yeah, but then they'd have to like send data to each other. I don't know if they can do that.
And then the other point you made was like filtering. So because you've got things like the porn ban, et cetera, in the UK, right?
Yeah, no porns.
So you're here. I don't know what the Norwegian position on all this is, but so you're here in Norway, but you would have the UK position on porn imposed on you by virtue of connecting.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Yeah, that's kind of odd, isn't it? But not all like those, you know, pirates.
If anyone knows what it's actually done, because I'm curious, I can't see a reason why a UK telco would go, we really, really want to impose like UK law in terms of sites you can and can't visit on you. Is it just that they can't do the data sharing thing?
It's just like more, I reckon it's probably more of a legacy thing than a thing that they do now.
If anyone knows, leave me a comment, because I'm really curious. And I've noticed on so many times when I've been travelling, it's like, okay, I'm on a carrier here, but my connection is absolutely terrible. And I can't believe it was only today that I realised
it. Yeah, now that you say that, like, you very consistently say how bad it is.
The problem is, being from Australia, I've got a low bar.
One of many.
I'm like, oh, the internet's shit. Yeah, okay. Well, that's just
all internet shit.
That's just another
thing. The funny thing is, it's like when you go overseas for good internet, they just bring you back to the shit.
I know. But they make it even worse because I've got to actually have the shit connection from here to Australia, and then I get the... Having said that, I have had, with Telstra in Australia, I have had times when getting like 450 megabit on 4G, which I think is pretty impressive. So I'm okay with that. Anyway,
that's
moving on. Other things, because there's a bunch of stuff to cover. I think I'm going to sort of do this a little bit in reverse order, because there was a blog post I did this week, and of course we're doing this on a Saturday. I'm doing it late, but snowboarding.
It is Saturday.
I know, we actually have to think about what day of the week it is at the moment. So this week, the week that has been, I did post about the Danish government now being on Have I Been Pwned, so they are now the 8th government that I've got.
Wow.
With complete free and unbridled access to all their domains, which is super cool. There's a couple of others in the wings. I forgot to follow a couple of them up, actually. And even when I say follow them up, the main thing for me is the transparency around the usage. So I've asked every government, so look, if I want to give you access to this stuff, but so that people don't turn around and go, oh, you know, Troy's doing government backdoors or something like that. I want to be public and transparent about it. And all the technical people are like, yeah, well, that seems perfectly reasonable. And then they go, oh, we've got to talk to the PR people. And it's like, oh, crap.
PR and legal.
And you can imagine government, cyber, breach data. Yeah, it's just...
Australian guy.
Thanks, man. We're going to keep coming back to that, aren't we? So anyway, Denmark's on there, so that's great. I'm very, very happy to have them on. So that's two of the Scandinavian countries now, because we've got Norway on, put Denmark on. So others to be filled in. A couple of other things that I thought were particularly interesting, and I think we can actually blow quite a bit of time talking about these. I'm going to start with one that's a little bit easier. I've spoken to you about the other one. We've spoken about this other one at length, but let's talk about this one.
I don't get the show notes for those watching.
No. So this is the way we roll. I mean, we do this with the Cyber Broken Talk as well. So for folks that have never been to an NDC conference, Scott and I do the Cyber Broken Talk, which is off the record, off camera, and I basically just go through with a bunch of slides and ask Scott's comments on it. It's done over beer, which actually seems to be every talk we do. Yeah. It's done over beer.
Coincidence.
It's a bit more organic this way. Anyway, the headline of this is Baby's First Data Breach. And
Is this like how young you can be when you get breached now?
Yeah. So the answer is born. And actually, if anyone knows about a data breach that has happened that has impacted people who are not yet born, I'm curious to hear about that as well. I'm sure it's either happened or it will happen. So this is Jeremy Kirk has written this in Data Breach Today, and there is an app called Peekaboo Moments. And the value proposition of Peekaboo Moments is you take photos of your kids, inevitably your kids.
The start of that sentence is enough.
I know, you know it's going to go downhill from there. And you you share these with family. And, you know, look, I'll link to the details. I mean, you can see here, for example, it's like it's literally infants who are a couple of months old.
What's wrong with just iMessaging those?
Well, I don't understand the value proposition when, let's be honest, Facebook is so dominant. So if Facebook's so dominant, why do you need to go and have another social media app which your other friends aren't on?
Share photos, like Facebook, Instagram, WhatsApp, iMessage.
I know.
It's like,
and then, well, people might say, well, I have a predisposition to the way Facebook handles my data, but now these guys have had a breach. Now, a breach is one way of explaining it. Not protecting your database at all is another way of explaining it.
Open Mongo to the internet?
Was it Mongo? Was it
as usual.
Mongo or Elasticsearch? You know what? Without reading the whole thing. Is Mingo? Mongo?
Mingo. There's no instances of Mingo on the page.
No, it might be Elastic. Or the generic database, ELAD? Elastic. Yeah, here we go. Elasticsearch server. And it's interesting because Elasticsearch, we almost seem to go through these waves. It was like S3 buckets for ages, and then it was MongoDBs for ages, and at the moment it seems to be Elasticsearch. Left Elasticsearch database open to the internet. Peekaboo Moments database contains more than 70 million log files, comprising more than 100 gigabytes, with information appearing to date from March 2019. At least 800,000 email addresses are in the exposed data. If that turns up, that'll go and have a bad pun. You can see if your baby's been breached. That sounds terrible, doesn't it?
It's like, oh, these criminals have no bounds.
Chinese service as well, I believe. Let me try and get the words right here. Now, I'm just conscious every time I say something related to China and data breaches, people get really upset. And actually, that's a good beer discussion. All right, so here's the references to China. The company, which appears to be based in China, didn't respond to emails, and efforts to reach other Peekaboo employees who also appear to be based in China have so far failed. Now, several times I've shared stories about data breaches, and there's been a headline about China, and you never believe it, someone on the internet gets upset. And they get upset because they say, oh, it's got nothing to do with China, or why do we care that it's China, or if data was hosted in China, why do we care? And how do we put it gently? Without upsetting anyone. Scott, why would China be a headline for a story like this?
Why are you making me say it?
All right. I think just being entirely objective about this, just a very, very different view of privacy and the right to privacy in China than what there is in the rest of the world. And, of course, privacy is a human right as well, but then human rights not always such a strong thing in China on many, many different fronts. So people do tend to get a little bit more upset about it because there's simply not as many controls. Having said that, I'm sure there's folks in China that get very upset about the way American companies in particular deal with their data. And I suspect part of what it is, you know, the same with things like, what was that app there recently, the face one, where you could age people's faces and things, and it was Russia-based, and people got very upset because it was based in Russia.
Yeah.
Anyway.
I remember that. And there's another Chinese equivalent, the TikTok, isn't it?
Oh, yeah, TikTok is Chinese as well. And, of course, there were even US senators getting very upset saying, oh, hang on a moment, all this data's going off to China. Now, frankly, I can see both sides of it. I can see people being more worried if it goes to China because they do have a history that's rather different to our own, being Australia, UK, US, in terms of views of privacy. But you know, there's this other part of me which is like, look, it's just on the internet, it's on servers, and it's in another country, yes, but the same thing is in reverse, right?
Yeah.
So anyway, look, I think really that the only tangible part of that story that we can quantifiably say is terrible is the fact that all the data was exposed publicly. The other thing as well is the trouble they had getting in touch with the organisation. So I spoke to Jeremy a couple of times about this and the security researcher here involved in reporting it. And, you know, the trouble they had was just absolutely painful. In fact, it was funny. I was speaking to Jeremy and he's like, you know, oh, you wouldn't believe how hard it is getting in touch with this company. And I'm like, here, hold my beer. Let me show you Shorebet 247.
I don't know what that's like.
And he came back later on. He went, okay, yep. It's like, you win. That was, holy crap, that was terrible. But it's sad that we're here in like 2020 now, and it's not, whether it's a SureBet thing or the Peekaboo Moments thing, it's not just a data breach. That's common across both of them. But all these efforts have been made to do the right thing, to get in touch with them, to handle it appropriately. And then in the case where it's a bunch of kids as well, you know, like that's just insane that this happens. I just...
Like, how do you think we're still there, though, given how, you know, like, responsible disclosure, security researchers, vulnerability, you know, reward programs, like, these things are not, they're not, like, niche news anymore, are they? Then, you know, they're not what they were perhaps a few years ago. They are fairly mainstream.
I think, and we're going to get ourselves into trouble again here because we're talking about different cultures, but I think that there is part of it which is cultural. So say the SureBet thing. This is a SureBet 247, the Nigerian-based betting service. My very, I'm just trying to find the words to not get myself into more trouble. I suspect in a country like Nigeria, which is an emerging market, that there's probably a whole bunch of other things which are very important to them over and above things like responsible disclosure of data breaches. You know, that is a country that's got a whole bunch of issues to deal with that are not big on the radar that we have in Australia and the UK, and we get to focus on things like the value of privacy. They're probably more focused on things like the value of health and moving people out of poverty, and it just sort of feels that in places like that, the view of privacy and security is just really different to what we have in Australia and the UK.
I mean, there's going to be differing views at all, you know, from country to country all over the world. And I remember back when the Indian government had the big Aadhaar breach, and I was actually in
quite Aadhaar being the massive biometric one, which has got like a billion plus people in.
Yeah, that was like a services. Super breach. And I was doing a lot of work in India at the time, and I, like, around that time, I did several trips to India of, like, 1 to 2 weeks each, and, you know, it was really funny speaking to people there, and I was like, oh my gosh, like, you guys, because obviously I'm going there to do training, they're super technical people, and I was like, wow, you must be, like, really kind of up in arms about this, and it's like, eh. And I was, like, almost taken aback, like, just how totally chill everyone was.
I think it's a different cultural tolerance. So before my joyful life of independence, when I used to work in corporate, and I'd go to China a bit and work a lot with the team there. So this was with Pfizer Pharmaceutical, a big multinational. We're all working for the same company. They're just in Beijing, and I'm, you know, in Sydney at the time. And, you know, you talk to them about things like WeChat, which they use extensively for, like, absolutely everything, which is sort of like, you know how China has a China everything, like Baidu is China's Google, WeChat is China's Facebook, and they do everything on there. They do their banking, their gaming, their socializing. And we were sort of looking at it going, why would you want to do your banking if effectively in China's Facebook? Like, I wouldn't want to give Facebook that information. And they're like, meh, government has everything anyway. That's like just a really different tolerance, right?
I've done a lot of traveling, you've done a lot of traveling. I guess, like, maybe a lot of other people don't, you know, have the fortune of doing, like, quite so many different trips in a year and seeing so many different places. But I think it has really changed my views on a lot of stuff. Like, you know, going, like, yeah. 'Cause I couldn't believe it when I was in there. It's like, wow, you know, I really expected to come here on this trip and everyone be, like, super angry about this thing. And everyone was just really...
Yeah, I think Aadhaar is much more multifaceted as well. I mean, people get very upset about the biometric side of things. I saw someone getting upset. And I don't want to be disingenuous. Oh, not that one again. Disingenuous about people being upset about privacy things, because it's very important to a lot of people. I mean, it's important to us as well. We probably just have slightly different views on it. But they are upset that I think it was like driver's licenses in Germany or something like that would have fingerprints recorded, something to that effect. And yeah, it's one of those things where they go, oh, well, look, if it gets breached, you can never replace it or you can never rotate it. It's like, yeah, but try going into China and not leaving your fingerprints. Or try going into the US and not leaving your fingerprints. You often have to. You must,
like,
have done.
I get fingerprinted every time as well, though. It's like, do you not remember them from last? Like, my fingerprints didn't change. You always got to do the thing on the little green box.
I'm not necessarily saying it happens so much, it's okay, because obviously there's still privacy issues. I guess the point is that it is such a common thing now to capture that information, to try and then withhold it from one single part of your life. Probably doesn't really make much difference. Anyway, there's a fire going.
We've
almost burned through,
like,
that.
The biometric check-ins at like airline gates now as well. I've seen quite a few people saying they just walk up to the gate, and normally you have to scan your boarding pass or something, and the gate just opens and they go through.
Yeah,
because they've done facial recognition.
Oh, that's facial.
And it's like, oh, I was like, I can super see the convenience side, but who has that data and what else are they doing with it? I'm like, oh.
So one day you're going to be like the last holdout for that, and there's going to be all these people standing behind you going, what is wrong with this guy? Why does he have this?
And you're just going to get extra vetted at security for like for your differing views.
You're
right?
Going to be the standout. You're like, oh, I think we'll...
Please come this way, sir.
For extra inspection.
Yeah. Like, oh boy.
Moving on rapidly from that. All right, so the one that to me was a bigger story this week that I thought was very interesting, and you and I have spoken quite a bit about the last couple of days, was WeLeak Info got taken down. Now,
start off as the fake one, right?
Ah, boy. There are a lot of data breaches out there, and a bunch of different websites have appeared that deal with data breaches, Have I Been Pwned being one of them. Have I Been Pwned wasn't the first. There are other data breach search services before that. There have been many others that have come since. And the, I guess the issue is that there's a real sort of spectrum in terms of the ethical view of people running these services, or the view about whose data it is and what you can do with it and all this sort of thing. And I think Have I Been Pwned is probably on one extreme side of the spectrum where it's like, I'm only going to put email addresses in there. I'm going to put a lot of controls around the ability to actually query those email addresses and try and restrict the usage. At the other end of the spectrum, there's the, let's call it the YOLO end of the spectrum, which is basically like, just put all the data in there and charge
Here's
people
the
all the money.
File.
Now, I think the most noteworthy one that was along those lines was LeakSource. So LeakSource, that went down a few years ago, and this was a very, very similar thing, where you could go there, you could pay a little bit of money, and particularly those in the hacking scene who wanted information to be able to target people, such as credentials that people were using, were using this service. They were advertising on hacking forums. I believed, don't quote me, does that make it okay if you proceed it with that?
Well, if you say don't quote me, you can say whatever you want.
It looked like they were incentivizing people to go and find data breaches as well, whether monetarily incentivizing to actually pay for data which already been breached or encouraging people to go out and find new services. It really wasn't sending the right incentives to the marketplace. And that was just one of these things where you're just looking at it going, how is this thing still running? Like, why is LeakSource still a thing? And of course, eventually they got taken down, arrested a young bloke, I think he was 24, in Canada, driving around a bright green Lamborghini. I was kind of thinking like...
At least it's the right colour.
You're missing the point here. Pro tip, like if you're effectively trading, installing identity data, which was one of the things he eventually got charged with, and you want to fly under the radar, don't drive around a bright green Lamborghini when you're actually really, really young. you're looking at bright green Lamborghini.
No, well, it's related to that, but...
So anyway, that was sort of a big story. Now, there's a bunch of other services still out there today, one less than a few days ago, which operate in a similar sort of space, but again, fit somewhere in this spectrum of grey, which is probably not towards the end of the spectrum that I'd like it to be. And there was a service called WeLeak Info. Now, for the most part, whoever was behind this, and we actually know now, certainly know where they're from, was polite and congenial and always seemed quite nice. They ran a service that they charged money for. I'd never used the service myself. I wouldn't give anyone money for that, just on principle.
Because I have them all.
Well, and also I have ordered it anyway. But even out of curiosity, look, it just didn't. And, of course, everyone who did now might be asking themselves some questions, but we'll come back to that. But, you know, you could go in there, you could pay a little bit of money, you could get access to data, which wasn't just the email address, but it was the password the person was using. I believe it was other data attributes as well, such as the name and an IP address being used. And the reporting in the press has said, look, a lot of people were using it for nefarious purposes, which you could imagine would be true because it's precisely the sort of data that you'd use for nefarious purposes. Now, about 48 hours before recording, someone pointed me to... a tweet where someone had screen-capped a takedown notice. And we might pop this open because it's kind of interesting. And when I first saw this, it just didn't feel that legitimate when I first saw that takedown notice. And I'll explain why in a moment. Who tweeted this? You know what? I've got a link in here. So, and when we say takedown notice, this was like an FBI sort of takedown notice thing.
And they have all of the law enforcement agencies.
Yeah, all right. So, okay, you look at that. I'm going to put more wood on the fire while you read it. So read out what's on there and what you think of that in terms of legitimacy.
So in giant red letters, it's like, this domain has been seized. The domain WeLeakInfo has been seized by the Federal Bureau of Investigation pursuant to a seizure warrant, etc., etc. And then it has, like, all of these giant, like, well, the National Crime Agency logo, the FBI logo. It looks like maybe the French police.
What's important, too, is the NCA is a UK law enforcement agency.
Yeah, so the NCA is the National Crime Agency in the UK. FBI is American. Polizei, that looks French. There's the German...
No,
I say German because it has...
That's Dutch.
Is it Dutch?
Yeah.
Okay, and then that one looks German because of the flag colours.
Yeah, so it's like a League of Nations. But explain the headline and what the headline says and how it appears.
Well, I mean, it just looks like someone made it in MS Paint. I mean, it's like... I mean, does okay, that not so just scream MS Paint?
For those who are listening as well, the headline says, this domain has been seized... They have used the outer glow effect, I believe it is, in Photoshop to put red around it. And then under it, it says the domain for WeLeakInfo. And the curious thing is, and this is what, to me, immediately made it look fake, is WeLeakInfo, it's not text, it's actually the logo. Someone has put love into, okay, not a lot of love, but someone has put love, well, I don't know if it was the FBI or the NCA, whoever it was, into building this image. It just doesn't feel legit. And when I saw it appear, I think I quote tweeted and said, does anyone know any more about it? Is this legitimate or not?
What about the background? Like, I've just noticed.
Oh, the background's very cyber. There's,
like, there's, yeah, green matrix text.
It is
zooming
a bit matrix.
Around, and it's three-dimensional. So they've put that there as well. I guess that's not the background of the site.
No. Let's say it's the NCA because their logo's first.
That's literally like some person in an office sat down and they were like, what would these hacker people have here? Let's just,
The interesting thing is when I sort of quote tweeted this tweet that someone else had put out and I said, does anyone know if this is legit? A bunch of people came back and went, no, fake. And in fact, even Catalin Campano, whose story we're looking at here, and he writes great stuff too, I think he came back and went, no, fake. Because he's looking at,
so
he's
bad.
Drawing the same conclusions that we're doing. So, NCA, FBI, if you're listening, it would be really great if you take down notices, looked a little bit more legitimate, because that did seem a little bit weird. This is where it starts to get interesting. This is where we start to see why there's a League of Nations in here as well. So we've had two people arrested here. Firing up. So one of them is in the Netherlands and one of them is in Northern Ireland. Now, both of them are 22-year-old males.
Is a common thread. That guy before was 24?
Yeah, so Jordan Bloom, who was the LeakSource guy, he was 24. And it's like alarmingly stereotypical, but it's always young males. It's always...
So we're too old to do this now?
Yeah, no, we're old and responsible now. Some of us more so than others. But anyway, it's always either teenagers or people in their very early 20s. And also, these guys are 22 years old. That service, I'm pretty sure it's been around for a couple of years now.
Been there a while, yeah.
So, can you remember, like, what level of...
When they built it before. So that's literally, like, late teens, isn't it? If they're getting arrested at 22, 24, they probably started this...
Exactly, a couple of years ago.
Teens, yeah.
And you sort of think back to, what was it like, let's say 19. So what was it like when you were 19? Like, how much of a moral, social compass did you have... And if you were faced with the proposition of being able to go and grab a whole bunch of data that's floating around the web for free and turn it into a service that you can monetize easily, would I have known where the boundary was? I'm not sure that I would have.
Next question.
Yeah, it's tricky.
No,
right?
I mean, I would have liked to have thought so. I wouldn't... I absolutely see what you mean.
But you're taking
but
a while to think about
feel,
it.
I just feel... Well... I mean, like, there's a very clear line there in my mind, even at, like, 18, 19, that's... I don't know. There's that tiny little bit where it's like, you know what, this is quite obviously wrong.
Yeah.
I don't know.
The thing is...
Maybe younger, towards...
I'm a little bit tempted to write something about this. I'm just always conscious that I want to write something about this and sort of highlight the risks of dealing with this data without it sort of looking bad for have I been pwned, because clearly that's not the intention. But there just seems to be a view amongst many that once data has been breached and it is in the public domain to some level or another, that it's free game. And, for that matter, the number of times we talk about data aggregators and there's been a data aggregator breach and data aggregators justify their service by saying, look, it's data that's in the public domain, we can do whatever we want with it. I really, really strongly feel, regardless of the laws in whatever part of the world you're in, that this is just not the case. Like, you just don't get to take...
I don't agree with that either. Like, that's... just because it's out there doesn't mean you can do stuff with it.
Well, again, I'm just being conscious because obviously that's what Have I Been Pwned does. But clearly the way I operate Have I Been Pwned is very different to the way a service like this operates.
You can make a very obvious and apparent public interest case there. Like, when I say do anything with it, like, they're, you know, they may aggregate it with other data to build a larger profile or sell access to it for their own financial gain. You know, those two things to me are like very apparent bad choices.
I think the key for me and the bit where it really sort of obviously goes wrong is when it's not just the presence of an email address and data breach, but it is let us take the other data attributes that are in there and sell them to other parties. And the other thing is, and I don't know this with WeLeak Info, honestly, I haven't paid a lot of attention to it until the last few days, but certainly with the leak source situation, they were really obviously targeting the hacking community to promote their services. Now, when you have that information and you're targeting the hacking community, like, honestly, what do you expect?
Where's that go? Yeah.
I just
cast your fine mind forwards and just, you know, like, how can you not? It's kind of like what I tied in, you know, it's like there's very obviously a line that you've crossed there, and when you add that as well, you know, it's like, where are you expecting this to go?
Mm.
Did they think they were just going to run that site for?
I know.
And maybe their intention was, we'll just run it for 12 months and close it, and they got caught before they got out.
I don't think so. One of the things that strikes me, and again, I'm a little bit cautious because I respect people's privacy as well, but when these services operate with a veneer of anonymity, so, yeah, I think I made a comment on a tweet yesterday. I said that there was always the pronoun of we being used to indicate multiple people. Now, and then there was never an identity given. Now, I'm conscious a lot of people use we, and is it right to say in the royal sense, where it's like...
Yeah, the royal we.
Yeah, the royal we. So it's, which is for, you know, I might say, with Have I Been Pwned, we have decided to do something, that is a royal we, and that there's no we, it's just me. But I'm just always suspicious when people don't want to put an identity to
the
service.
But isn't that then proof, or at least a contributing factor towards the assertion that if they're running this service and, you know, like for your service and my service, we have our name and our face on the about page and things. If they're not willing to do that, does that not imply that they know, or that at least they feel uncomfortable about what they're doing? They know what they're doing is wrong because they're not willing to put their name on it.
I saw a comment today from someone that sort of said, they take payment by credit card. Do they really expect to stay anonymous?
That's true. Yeah.
And look, maybe, you know, we've got public profiles, so maybe we just have a different tolerance to this, but I'm just always super suspicious when I see a service running and efforts have obviously been taken to protect the identities of those behind it. You know, I mean, why do you do that? And then, look, I'm sure there are cases where it is just genuine privacy. I mean, maybe they are in parts of the world where they would be persecuted for their views, and we could make a valid argument as to why they need to have privacy. For a service like this, I could just never get it. It's like, why, you know, if you really think this is legitimate and above board. I've got to go back and look it up, and I'm sure it'll be on archive.org somewhere, but there's some really interesting comments made. In fact, I've got a feeling I've used as a screen cap of part of their website in one of my talks, where there was sort of the premise of, you know, it's like an FAQ. Is this legal? Yes, once the data is in the public domain. And again, don't quote me on it. Go back to archive.org, but I'm quite sure it's on there. I must look it up now because I'm really, really interested.
So you can just say whatever you want in an FAQ and then it's legit.
It just doesn't work that way. But, you know, by the same token as well, I just think this whole sort of database breach stuff needs a massive shake-up too. And I don't just mean in terms of services you're doing, whether it's what they're doing at that one end of the spectrum or what Have I Been Pwned does, but the likes of regulators, I think, just still sort of don't quite know what to do with it. I mean, all of this data is out there and it's floating around.
Yeah.
I think just knocking off services like that, and I don't know that we're doing a lot else to help fix the problem. I know,
But is it just whack-a-mole as well? You know, like, are people
Yeah, because and there are other services out there. I mean, I'm aware of a couple, and I'm sure there are many others I'm not aware of which do the same sort of thing. So, you know, the two leak ones are gone. I'm sure there'll be others.
Maybe just don't put leak in the name of your next service.
Oh, geez, pro tip. Come on. if you're a young male, thinking of starting a service.
Oh, anyone else that wants to bottle one?
I know. I'm going to get in trouble for that now as well. Shit.
Hey, look, so we were talking about the NCA and them shutting down like all of these dodgy services. So the NCA that we just mentioned, the National Crime Agency in the UK, they actually run this campaign in the UK. And I need to read the exact details of it. But basically, they got torn to bits in the UK for this video because they were talking about how people get drawn into the life of cybercrime.
Oh, this is the Russian one with their...
And they were showing like these videos of the Russian like cyber criminals, some of which are now like in custody. Yep.
Had some nice cars with portraits.
And they had like all of their... You know, they were showing like these Russian hackers driving around in their Lamborghinis, and it's like, don't do, you know, hacking, kids. Otherwise, you'll drive around in a Lamborghini. And I'm like, come on, like, seriously, this is not how... I mean, like, look at that. Come on, they've got a GTR, and what's that, a Hellcat?
That's, it looks like a Hellcat.
It's like the Challenger Hellcat.
A purple Hellcat. Look at this, a GTR.
That's a very nice looking GTR, on that GTR as well, yeah. Wow. So basically, don't do crime.
Crime does pay.
Like, yeah, because you get all these really nice cars. And when you're talking about them... Just
green Lamborghini guy as well.
Oh, so. Green Lamborghinis are the best.
Oh, boy. Anyway, look, I think that pretty much covers us for today. We are actually in Norway to do work as well. So
yeah,
We will be at ND Security in Oslo in the week coming. You're doing workshop. I'm doing workshop. Yep. We're doing the security event. My 10-year-old son is with us. He's going to be doing the kids coding event. So if you're in Oslo, this is a free event. We're going to run that next week. I can't remember the day.
I want to say Thursday. No,
because that's workshop day. Next week.
Next week.
Google NDC Security Oslo and you'll find it. And that will be there. And I think that's probably about it. Now we
and you see London next week. Oh, it'll be a video.
No, week after.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, pardon. Yeah.
Yeah. So the week coming is going to be security in Oslo. So we should do this again.
It's a good show. Someone knows where we're going.
I'll just follow Tripper. We should do this again in Oslo next week, and then we'll do it again in London the week after that.
Yes, that's right.
Yep. And now we should go and like hit the hot tub in the snow.
Yeah. Oh, there's a hot tub and a sauna in this place.
Hot tub and a sauna.
And the hot tub's outside, which is weird because it's freezing cold and then really, really hot.
Yeah, it's pretty good. We should go do that. We're going to turn the camera off before we do that.
Yeah, there's other people here, not just me and Troy. I feel the need suddenly to clarify that we're not on a romantic getaway.
That sounded much better.
Like,
let's turn it off and go to a fireplace.
Yeah, let's just turn these chairs around and sit here.
Thank you very much for watching. We'll come from Oslo at the end of next week.
See ya.